Let us begin in the NFL. Week 9 began last night with the Jets pasting the Bills. It was 34-7. Garbage time touchdowns made it 34-21. Gangrene, impressive. In primetime, on their home field, they had to, whatever playoff dreams and aspirations they have, required a win last night, and they got it. The Bills, meanwhile, dropped to 5-3. A little more space between them and the Patriots atop the AFC East, and a little more room for doubt about what these Bills are, especially on the road, which is where you would presume they'd be in the postseason if they got there. So them continuing to struggle. All three of their losses have come outside of Buffalo. So that home field advantage is not going to matter when we get to January. So they got to figure things out when they're not in their home blues. Then we get to Sunday, and we are in the heart of bye country right now.
Yeah.
So this might be actually the fewest Sunday games we have this year. Just three late games. We'll do our picks later in the hour. But let's begin with the Broncos and the Eagles, because we finished the last hour on those Eagles and just how good they are and can they be and where they fit in the NFC hierarchy. They host the Broncos. It's Brock Day. Brock Osweiler is back. Now,
he is back with a vengeance.
Yeah. Which is good news or bad news?
I don't know. Let's hope he has a vengeance. That's what the Broncos are hoping. And this may be his last chance to really have an opportunity to shine in this league. And I said it earlier when we were discussing some certain players. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. I believe it was Carson Wentz. I was talking about how he petered out there at the end of last season. And now he's hoping that he has learned from that experience and it can catapult him to a different second half of the regular season this year. And Brock Osweiler is running out of opportunities as well, getting paid handsomely from the Cleveland Browns while he plays for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
I think Denver's defense will play better in this ball game, and they gave their offense a chance, and the offense did not give them a chance versus Kansas City the other night because they had all the turnovers. And so this defense, they know they're going to have to snuff out the run, and LeGarrette Blount, I think, will still get the lion's share of the carries along with Jay Ajayi, the new running back that came over from Miami. But they're going to have to stop this passing game of Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz and Nelson Aguilar. All these guys have looked good. And Alshon Jeffrey, this offense has just been clicking for the Philadelphia Eagles. And now can Denver get back to running the rock? That's going to be the key for them. They need everything to be based off that running game with C.J. Anderson, Devin Booker. And so that front line, that O-line for the Broncos, which has been much maligned since that whipping of my Cowboys, they've got to play better. And it starts with them up front. It also starts with that quarterback because he's going to be in some situations where he has to pass. He's hoping not a ton. And they're also hoping that he can find the right color jersey.
Yeah, I'm not going to believe that much in Brock in this one. I think the Broncos right now are kind of cooked. I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt. I thought that Trevor Siemian was a replaceable quarterback, but good enough to get wins like they could have gotten on Monday against Kansas City. But five turnovers, inexcusable. They had to make a change. They go to Brock, and we know Brock's history, and it's basically a joke. And maybe he'll stick it in all of our faces, but I don't know that it happens on Sunday against these Eagles. Not to tip my hand, but I think you're going one way, I'm going on another with this game. We'll find out later in the hour. Then there's staying in the NFC. There's Atlanta and there's Carolina. And this game interesting, I think, for reasons that we were not expecting it to be interesting when the year began. They've got a combined six losses. So we're here now as October becomes November, still trying to figure out exactly what the Falcons are. Three losses, then three wins, then surviving the Jets last weekend in a crappy weather game. You know, they've shown some flashes, but they have not been consistently as good as they should be. And they play this Carolina team in Carolina coming off their weird week where they're in shell shock
right. That
Kelvin Benjamin's now a Buffalo Bill. And I got no feel for how the Panthers respond to that on Sunday afternoon.
No, I'm with you. Who's your go-to receiver? We know you love Christian McCaffrey. It's hard not to. He can do it all. Now you can put him in the slot. You can put him at running back, get the ball to his hands, in his hands, myriad ways. So is now will you have to increase his production to make sure this offense can go? So that is a huge question. Who picks up the pieces from this trade of Kelvin Benjamin to the Buffalo Bills? Who is going to be the guy? Devin Funchess, he has been a guy that's made play after play for this offense. You lose Greg Olsen at the tight end position, so you now know Benjamin. You need others to step up and help McCaffrey and help Funchess. So it'll be interesting to see how this offense will be able to move the ball now that they don't have that huge target. And Atlanta, a win up here last weekend versus the Jets, and so maybe they figured a few things out. You've had some comments from some of the players there. Mohamed Sanu, I believe it was, that said this offense is totally different than it was a season ago. Well, you would figure that would be the case, and you just have to find a way to make it work. And sometimes they're growing pains when you bring in a new system. They didn't immediately click when Kyle Shanahan was running that offense, and I wouldn't expect them to do that with Steve Sarkisian coming over and having his version or his philosophy he's trying to instill. Sometimes it takes a minute, and maybe they found some stuff last week in our hard-fought win up here, or maybe they didn't, but we will see. A lot of questions left for both of these football teams.
Did you see what Marty Herney said 2 days ago about the Benjamin trade, that he was clogging up their run game? That they can run better now with him. I mean, was he tripping the running back? You know more about football scheming than I do, but that didn't make sense to me.
That's a new one. I have never heard of a wide receiver clogging up your own team's running game. How was he clogging it up? Now, I think he's at the end of his contract and you weren't going to sign him. Fine.
And they think Funchess is the same player.
Well, I like Funchess. I like what he brings to the table. I think this was more, we weren't going to re-sign him, and so we wanted to trade him and get something for him. I've never heard of that one. That's a new one. Hey, wide receiver, you're the reason we can't run the rock. It's one thing if you have some guys who are breaking through the line of scrimmage, getting to the second and third level, and the receivers down the field aren't blocking, say that.
Right.
But say they're clogging up. Are they the 12th defender for your opposing defense?
That's what I'm saying. Or is he going, psst, we're going to run. Off left tackle.
He's tipping the defense. Coming your way.
Yeah.
Look out.
Be awake, 92. Be alive, 92.
That's a new one on me. No.
Yeah, that one I didn't get. And I started to chalk it up to, I don't really completely still understand how football is played, so maybe I'm missing something. And we've heard GMs and coaches and whispers and rumors of trying to rationalize exits a lot of different ways. He was unhappy. We didn't want to pay him. He wanted too much money, whatever it is. But I've never heard a wide receiver blame for a struggling run game.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Even, okay, fine. Funchess and him are redundant. You want to get the speed guys on the field more, even though your boy from Ohio State can't catch laterals, so I don't
Curtis
know
Samuel.
He's going to do for passes.
Yeah, maybe
down
they like these young guys. Curtis Samuel, he's had his problems catching the rock, but a ton of talent, ton of speed. He's from up here in Brooklyn, I believe. So you have him, you have McCaffrey, and you have Funchess. So maybe you think that's more than enough to round out this passing offense for the Panthers. But there were so many guys on that team there in Carolina and not on that team that were shaking their heads once they learned of this trade.
Now, we've got some juice in the 4 o'clock window. Straight up 4 o'clock start for Washington in Seattle in the late game, so to speak. The prime late game, 4:25 kickoff, is KC at Dallas. Without Ezekiel Elliott, and that game's actually a pick'em, which I'm surprised at, but I guess down there in Dallas, that kind of negates the disadvantage of no Elliott.
I don't know if it necessarily negates it, but you still have that offensive line, and even before Elliott stepped on the scene with the Cowboys, before he was drafted, this was a top 10 running team. Even without DeMarco Murray, I think they were still top 10. So you have Alfred Morris, and led the league in rushing early on in his career with Washington. Darren McFadden, those guys have been there a couple years now, so hopefully they can pick up the pieces of Zeke being out. And that they're going to have to if they want to keep this Kansas City defense at bay. You don't want them just coming unharnessed, unleashed versus Dak Prescott. And you don't want Dak Prescott having to throw 30, 40 times either. I don't know if we've necessarily seen him lead this team to victory with his arm, having to be the whole kit and caboodle without that balance of a running game, and he may have to do that in this ball game. As a Cowboys fan, I'm hoping he doesn't have to, but they will miss Zeke, of course. But you have two vets that can get it done, hopefully. And defensively, that's where I'm most concerned, because we're aware of the problems the Cowboys had in that secondary. Now you're going up against all these different weapons, Hunt, and the wide receivers that the Kansas City possesses now, and a quarterback that it can get out of harm's way, and Alex Smith. So I'm more concerned with that side of the ball for the Cowboys than I am the offensive side.
Back to Washington and Seattle. I don't like this game. Well, I guess I should say I like it a lot for the Seahawks. I know Washington survived their banged-up offensive line to a certain extent their last time out, but that's not the place to go with that kind of system up to Seattle. I think, obviously, they're a different team. And I still have my doubts with the Washington offense. They have not figured out still just yet between Terrell Pryor and Josh Doctson and who's going to catch the football and who's going to be on the field for the most part. Obviously, not having Pryor be useful is a huge blow no matter what Doctson develops into this year. And I just don't flat out think they can score enough in Seattle to stick with the Seahawks in this game.
Well, you look at what Deshaun Watson did last week, and did he give us a window into some of the flaws of the Legion of Boom?
I mean, but they also picked him off twice and took one back for a touchdown.
Right, I got you. But it was rookie quarterback making rookie mistakes. But they posted a lot of points on this defense, and Russell Wilson came to save the day with his big 400-yard passing game as well. So I don't think Washington can do what Houston was able to do. Kirk Cousins, who is a good quarterback, but is he a guy that can affect change with his feet? Is he a guy with defenders hanging, draping off them, be able to still find a running back right there in the front of the end zone like Deshaun Watson did? The guy was just amazing, even with those missteps, the interception. So I like Seattle being at home, and the Cowboys were able to run through Washington last week, and now with Dwayne Brown, you know, he's been getting coached up. You were immediately penciled in. You're starting for us, so look for a lot of runs to his side.
The Texans play their first game post Deshaun Watson against Indianapolis. That's kind of the bad quarterback news bowl this weekend. Mikey was telling me that line originally, the Texans were laying 14 for that game. It's now down to just -7 for them.
I'm surprised it's that much.
Yeah, and we've already made fun of Matt McGloin enough this morning. We should tell you that the Texans are also signing T.J. Yates to have a second barely mediocre backup QB for their barely mediocre starting QB in Tom Savage in the wake of Deshaun Watson's knee injury. They play the Colts. You know, that all of a sudden... Now, I don't know what last week... I found myself watching Colts-Bengals for a long stretch last Sunday. Maybe I was just lazy and didn't change the channel off of the Sunday ticket. But the Colts almost won in Cincinnati last week. There were a couple of throws that... And other reasons, but there were a couple of throws that Brissett missed that could have been touchdowns or could have put them into better scoring position that he didn't make. And maybe those will come, obviously. I mean, he's still a baby, all things considered, in terms of his NFL playing experience. You know, that's all of a sudden... obviously a dicey game for the Texans because you've down your best offensive player, you're down your two best defensive players, and there's some trickiness to this Colts, at least on offense, better with Brissett than anybody else after Andrew Luck. But I still think Houston wins. But obviously, as the line tells you, that game's a lot tighter than it was going to be.
Right, of course it is. So when you lose a dynamite, dynamic player like a Deshaun Watson, you would expect that line to adjust, and it has. And I'm surprised it's still as high as it is because Jacoby Brissett, he's cut from a similar mode as is Deshaun Watson, a guy with some mobility and can force a defense to cover much longer than ideally you would want them to, but. Playing at home, and Houston, Texas, they want to rally. They understand how big a blow this is to lose their starting quarterback. And, you know, do you sit there and sulk and say, woe is me, another hit for this defense? You know, Cushing's been out. Of course, you lose J.J. Watt, and now you lose your starting quarterback. You lost Merciless. So many hits to that defense. So let's see how they pick up the pieces from that. But I would still give them the edge playing at home.
Let's do one more Brad Heller update, and we'll come back with two interesting gentlemen. One is named Coop, and he's about 10 floors below us. Another is Giannis, and he's got the Atlantic between us. But both are on our radar this morning on Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
And both are probably in pain. Hey, Brian Jones here again for Relief Factor. And maybe like me, you're a high school superstar athlete or even a professional athlete. Either way, I'll bet you have some aches and pains that are making your life miserable right now. Hard to get out of a chair, hard to golf or play tennis, or even walk up and down stairs. Hey, you don't have to be an athlete to have pain. Neck, back, shoulder pain, or hip and knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain can be a bummer. This is why I'm so happy with Relief Factor, a 100% drug-free way to lower or even eliminate your pain. It sure has worked for me and my pain. I had this elbow issue, and I didn't know where it had come from, but all I know is once I started taking Relief Factor, it went away, and it has stayed away. So it works for me. It can work for you. So here's what I suggest you do. Like tens of thousands of other athletes and non-athletes have already done, go to ReliefFactor.com. Order the three-week quick start for only $19.95. That's go to ReliefFactor.com again, all right, to order it right now, ReliefFactor.com. Maybe you were skeptical like I was, because I was really skeptical, and I'm not skeptical any longer because I'm out of pain. You can be too. That's ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
This is Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Still a lot to get to before we're done. I can't wait to hear from Coop, and I use here in Coop! Air quotes. But first, we hear from Brad Heller. He's got your last update of the morning.
Hello,
Brad. All right, guys. Thursday night domination by the Jets at home against the Bills.
McCown, short drop. McCown whips it down the field into the end zone. Robbie Anderson, he's got it. Touchdown. A deep ball from McCown to Anderson. The Jet connection adds to the lead.
Ian Eagle, the call. Westwood won 27 unanswered points. Final score 34-21. Jets ending their three-game losing streak. They had trouble keeping fourth-quarter leads. Not the problem last night. Josh McCown also ran for a touchdown. Two scores for Matt Forte. The defense forced three turnovers and sacked Tyrod Taylor seven times on the night. Here's Coach Todd Bowles.
That was big for us. Turnovers win games. I think they were plus 14 coming in, and Tyrod didn't turn the ball over very much, and they don't fumble very much. So for us to come out with the turnover battle was big for us.
Man, sound different. A little bit more bass in that voice after a big win.
It's about as excited as he's going to get talking to the media. That's, Jets are 4-5 now.
He sound like the lover's man in that one.
He's ready to roll.
Yeah.
Jets are 4-5. Bills had a chance to tie for the AFC's best record. They are now 5-3. Big NFL news on Thursday. The big news, the Texans losing quarterback Deshaun Watson for the rest of the season. A torn ACL suffered in practice. Tied for the league lead in touchdown passes with 19. So Tom Savage gets the starting job back, and Houston will reportedly sign Matt McGloin to be the backup. The Colts placing Andrew Luck on IR, so the quarterback season is over before it starts. Because of the bad shoulder, here's GM Chris Ballard.
We think for the long-term interest of Andrew, this is the best course of action. You know, I've heard all kinds of rumors about career ending. That's not the case here. I've not got that from one doctor.
And Luck told the team website that he is optimistic about his future. NBA, the Warriors were down 19 in San Antonio, but rallied and handed the Spurs their fourth straight loss, 112-92, 27 points for Klay Thompson. Damian Lillard scored 32, including the game-winning three-pointer. With under a second to go, Blazers beat the Lakers for the 13th straight time, 113-110 in Portland. Baseball, the Angels keeping outfielder Justin Upton, 5 years, $106 million, and the Astros with their championship parade and rally this afternoon in Houston. Guys.
Bradley, thank you very much. You can hear Brad throughout the morning on the DA show, hosted by Damon Amendolara, which follows us on...
Why would anyone want to listen to Brad anymore?
...of these CBS Sports Radio stations.
That's a great question.
You can also hear him if you're in or near New York on WCBS 880.
Once again.
15 to 45 past each hour.
Why would anyone want to listen to Brad Heller all day?
855-212-4CBS, 855-212.
No good reason, huh?
4-2.
I don't have an answer.
I'm just messing with you, Brad, of course. Aren't you going to Auburn this weekend?
Next weekend.
Oh, it's next weekend, Auburn and Georgia.
Auburn, Georgia.
And you still don't know the
know the game time yet. So
CBS will get back to you.
The travel plans are in flux right now. But,
well, just go early. Why does it matter what time the kick is?
Well, it's a matter of where to stay Saturday night after the game. Staying in Auburn or go back because I got an early flight back from Atlanta,
go to Atlanta
Sunday morning.
Yeah. Gotcha. So,
and with the time change, the hour time change, going back to Atlanta, do you
our
stay over?
Our time change is this week, right?
No, but he's going from Central to Eastern time.
Oh, I got you. I see what you're saying. So, yeah, we fall back this weekend, right?
We do. We
get an extra hour sleep.
Love it.
And that's why that Arizona-San Francisco game is so important. You don't want to miss kickoff.
Yeah.
So make sure. I would change your clocks now.
Really?
So you're going to adjust and you're there because you can't miss Cardinals-Niners this weekend.
Yes, well, something may happen.
There's four NFL games Sunday, and somehow we previewed Cardinals and San Francisco.
Whose choice is that? Is that the producer's choice?
It is the producer's choice.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Another example of your quality decision almost 3 years ago.
Yeah, I could have thunk of a few other games to but hey, 0-8 is 0-8.
Exactly.
They need love too, right, Mikey B?
Well, it was the only game you were not going to talk about, so I figured let's put that in there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's give him some love, like I said, yeah.
All right, it's time to play What the Hell Did Coop Just Say?
Oh!
Our boy downstairs of Coop and Calhoun. No, that's only a little evil.
That's that old man laugh there, man.
No, that's the old laugh, the laugh of a man who just stole your kidney and left you in a tub full of ice. No,
oh,
I mean, that is horror movie level. I don't like that. Spooked me. No. Now, Mike, how does this work, Mike? Do I just sit back and Coop picks? You haven't given me any instructions on this, and I don't pay attention enough when I'm doing updates to know how this works.
I made the assumption you listened to the show. I apologize.
Not well enough, no.
Yeah, just say here's Mike and Coop.
So here's Mike and Coop.
We're here with Coop NFL picks, week number 9. Washington at Seattle. Seattle favored by 7.
Seattle.
Why?
They're playing pretty good. They're rolling now. They're rolling. They're playing good ball now. They're playing good ball. Washington, the Hogs, is like they need some corn.
Did he say the Hogs need some corn? All right.
Okay.
He country.
Colts at Texans. Texans favored by 7.
Texans.
Why?
Texans is pretty good this year.
How about their quarterback?
It's okay. Pretty good. Morning.
Atlanta at Carolina. Falcons favored by 1.
Atlanta and
Carolina.
Carolina.
Panthers.
Huh?
The Panthers.
Carolina Panthers, right?
Panthers.
Who do you pick?
Carolina.
Why?
From North Carolina, right?
Duh.
They're from North Carolina. Anything from North Carolina, good. James Cooper's good. Michael Jordan, good.
James who?
And they try to take old Bummer. If I pick too good, I'll take Bummer show over.
Who's show?
Boomer.
Wow.
You know, he was doing really well. I was about to say that was the most understandable Coop has been, at least in my estimation, and then he went off the deep end.
So he is doing this. He's picking poorly because he doesn't want to take Boomer show over.
He's picking Carolina because a lot of good things have come from Carolina.
Yeah.
James something and Michael Jordan.
Did he say James Worthy? Was he attempting to say James Worthy? I got to Michael Jordan. Wow, that is hilarious. And he's from Carolina, of course, North Carolina.
Oh, that's why. There
yeah. Oh, man, that's too funny. Wow.
So Coop's going with the Panther.
Yeah, the Panther.
And two other teams. Yeah, yeah. And Seattle.
He's going with one player from the Panther,
yeah.
and two full squads, yes.
Atlanta and
Carolina.
Carolina.
Panthers.
Huh?
The
Carolina,
Panthers.
Carolina Panther, right?
You know what? We should call them and have them reconsider their name. Because the Carolina Panther is a...
I like that. Yeah. The Panther. How the Panther do today?
No. Seriously.
Wow.
He's a killer. That is a stone-cold assassin's laugh.
It is. That's better than the Joker, man.
He should be the next Joker. Just dub that laugh in.
Oh, that is good.
That's why Calhoun just nods. You hear that, Coop? I did, Coop. I heard it. Don't kill me.
Wow. That is...
Yeah, I'm out. I'm not even going to make eye contact with that guy when I walk in from now on.
Keep walking.
Sleeping, don't worry.
Don't wake him
morning.
Up.
Oh, they were speaking in tongues this morning, man.
Well, he was awake because it was 5:57, and he's waiting for Amy to come down and walk out.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, hear that?
Yeah, who? Yeah, who?
Oh, you the man.
His alarm goes up at 5:55, and he goes and brushes his teeth and freshens up for the Amy walk by.
It tightens up that tie. I'm sure...
starts acting all security guards. The perimeter is secure, sir.
What's that? What? Oh, someone penetrated the attic. I'm on there. I'm on the way, sir.
The fat man walks slowly. The fat man walks slowly.
I'm sure Coop had no idea that Deshaun Watson was hurt. None.
I don't think he knew he was healthy.
Deshaun who?
To begin with.
No idea.
No. Pretty sure he thought Mark Rippon was still the Redskins quarterback. Them hogs need corn.
Hogs need corn. Hogs need slop. We need corn. Wow, okay.
How about their quarterback?
It's okay.
It's all great.
It's okay.
Dynamic.
He good.
Oh, that's almost as deep as Mike's NBA thoughts. How about those Suns?
Oh, that's bad, man. Mike's NBA thoughts were right on point.
Suns are rolling.
Yes.
They are, actually. Were they 4-1 now, post-Earl Watson?
They're back to 500.
Now, I would like to know, NBA insider Mike Biseglia, why is Giannis Porzingis, who we discovered, why is he breaking news in places like Sporta Center?
Yeah, why aren't they breaking news here, man? We're supposed to be their favorite.
The place he said these things to, and what he said was basically the fact that the Knicks can pay my brother, you know, the most money doesn't mean we're going to stay there. It's not about just collecting money. But he said it to a Latvian outlet that's Sporta Centers, S-P-O-R-T-A-S-E-S, I mean, C-E-N-T-R-S. That last E we leave off for savings. But...
Now, come on, it's lost in translation. Makes sense to them. Now, does Giannis double his brother an agent?
He's his, like, secondary agent. He works for his actual agent, which it seems to me like when the head coach hires your high school coach to be his assistant.
Gotcha.
So you go to the school.
Gotcha.
Like, yeah, you can be the secondary agent.
Oh, okay.
You can handle the Latvian business.
Okay. All right. Well, he's once again, I think, talking out of turn. He had a lot to say, going after Melo, lack of leadership, and it's interesting. It's not interesting because it's obvious that Porzingis, Kristaps, doesn't have a problem with this, and he's probably heard these comments before. He's definitely shared these comments with his brother, and he doesn't mind his brother going out there and sharing it with us.
Yeah, but why is he sharing it with us?
I don't know any better. That's
I mean, by now he should. This is not the first time they've talked about stuff. And they did, and he did confirm in this too, by the way, that last year when they didn't do their exit interview, that was a calculated, thought out decision by them to send a message to everybody.
Right.
So they got a lot stewing. And you know, as amazing as Porzingis is, and as important as he is to the Knicks, I wouldn't mind him and his brother slowing the roll just a little bit here and being better for a little bit longer and staying healthy and being a little bit more, I don't want to say a good soldier, that sounds lame, but just like why, you're just getting done with all of the drama that you created, that you didn't create. You're off for, relatively speaking, a decent start. You particularly look great. Why are you saying things that are going to piss people off?
I have no idea, and we'll see what happens as far as the relationship between Porzingis and the Knicks. I would think they, especially how he's playing now, I would think that they would want to keep him for the long haul, averaging about 27, 28 points a game. Looks like it appears light has gone off. He's had his epiphany, and he's being more assertive, more aggressive. And, of course, the season's still very, very young. See if he can keep it up. But you don't want to let a talent like this leave. And Knicks fans, you guys tell me this. Is he someone you can rally around? Is he someone that can put butts in the seats? Even though the team may not be playing overall as well as you would like, he's a budding superstar. So, yes, Knicks fan. Or Mikey B, I'm looking at you. You're a Nets fan, of course. But I would think this is some guy you could rally around.
We've got to make picks. And we got to make fun of Pizza Man one more time, I think, because some dude lost $70 million yesterday, and it probably is not enough.
Don't laugh at that man's
He
bang.
Might have to ask Coop to cut out his kidney and sell on the black market to make up some cash from yesterday. We're back in just a second with those picks and that Pizza Man on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Check us out on Facebook at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So can Iowa beat Ohio State?
What do you think?
In football tomorrow.
What do you think?
I'm going to say no, but I'm no pro.
I'm going to say no. If this was a night game, I'd have a better feeling for an upset because they've upset teams before. I think it was Michigan last year they upset there at night, and they've had a propensity to do this from time to time in the night games. Afternoon games, maybe so not so much, but I like the defense. Watch Josie Jewell. This guy, linebacker for Iowa, is as good as they get. He is all over the place. Anthony Nelson, another one on that D-line, leads him in sacks. They're going to be stout. I think this is a better defensive front than what Ohio State faced last week versus Penn State. And, of course, Penn State lost one of their best guys in Ryan Buchholz's first series of the game. So watch this defense of Iowa. I think they play hard, and they'll give Ohio State a little better test than did Penn State. But I don't believe Iowa will win this ball game, maybe closer than what the odds makers are saying. J.T. Barrett is rolling right now, man. This guy's tremendous. The last six games, 21 touchdowns, no picks. He has just been balling out. And the offense, the weather's supposed to be bad. I think it's supposed to rain maybe the entire afternoon. So you're going to have to lean on that running game. J.K. Dobbins, who averaged about 7 yards a carry, and Mark Weber. Mike Weber. They are rolling on that side of the ball, and their defense just smothered Penn State. Penn State not only lost one of their best defensive linemen, they lost probably their best offensive lineman, their left tackle, last week in that ball game, and they couldn't do anything. Trace McSorley running for his life, and Saquon Barkley, he had 6 carries, I believe, is in the fourth quarter for minus 7 yards. So they smothered him as well. And they'll have to do the same with Akram Wadley and they, at the running back position for Iowa, and Nathan Stanley, the quarterback. But I like Iowa to keep it close. I just don't think they have enough to ultimately win the ball game.
Now, a week ago, in the official Gio and Jones picks, Gio went 5-1. The football professional went 3-3. But since Gio has deserted us for the fourth time this week, and for the fourth time in 6 shows when we get to Monday, or the fifth time in 6 shows when we get to Monday, BJ, here's your music.
Hey! Thunder! Let's start with college football. Virginia Tech at Miami. This should be a good one. Both teams are ranked. Miami's been getting off to these slow starts. They get off to a slow start in this one. I think it could be over. I love what they bring to the defensive side of the ledger, but they need to start better on the offensive side, run the rock, could run against a just woeful rush defense there at North Carolina a week ago. We'll see if they can write that and run versus Vitek. Oh, I can't say Vitek. It's Virginia Tech.
Say it loud
and sorry,
proud.
Virginia Tech. I'm sorry, Hokie fans. I don't think they're going to be able to run versus Bud Foster's Virginia Tech defense. Josh Jackson, 17 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the season. The freshman quarterback is not making any mistakes. And watch Cam Phillips at wide receiver. So I'm taking Vitek minus. I keep doing it! Virginia Tech! Virginia Tech minus 2.5. And Iowa State at West Virginia. I believe in the Cyclones. Everyone better believe in the Cyclones. They shut down TCU last week. TCU did not score an offensive touchdown. The touchdown came via the kick return variety from Kevontae Turpin, who did it 2 weeks ago as well. So Iowa State's defense, they are as advertised. Marcel Spears, Willie Harvey, and Joel Landing, an excellent linebacker crew. I'm taking Iowa State on the road at West Virginia, plus 2.5. All right, Oklahoma. Oklahoma State. Bedlam! This should be fun. Two of the top three passing offenses in the nation. OU, that defense, gave up 20 points versus Texas Tech first quarter. 7 after that. 7 in the third quarter. That was it. They woke up and stopped him. Obo Okoronkwo. Say it with me. Obo Okoronkwo, defensive end. He can get after the quarterback. DJ Ward, the other defensive end, he can get after the quarterback. It's going to be a long afternoon for Mason Rudolph. Now, J.D. King, the freshman running back, stepped in after Justice Hill fumbled early in that ball game at West Virginia last week for the Cowboys and ran exceptionally well. But I think OU gets them. Plus 2.5, I'm taking the Sooners in Bedlam.
Bedlam. Okay, now my picks have nothing to do with actual football. They're on the way I feel about certain things, beginning with Rutgers. Nothing makes me angrier than the nonsense of Rutgers bringing New York City to the Big Ten. Maryland comes a knocking in Piscataway, New Jersey, which is not in any way New York City. The Terps lay in 2.5. Let's lay those 2.5 and let's win by 20.5. I'm taking Maryland at Rutgers. Now, my second favorite former football player colleague, Tiki Barber, is a Virginia product. Ja Tech is in Charlottesville this weekend. Given 10. Let's give 10 and let's win by 100, Georgia Tech over UVA.
Oh, yeah. I'm down with UVA. They let me down.
And then this is me for America. It's Army and it's Air Force. And Army's getting 6.5 in Colorado. I'll take them. Give me Army.
Taking Army? Really?
Why not?
Oh, man.
Whichever monk is the head coach, they can run the football.
I took Army as well on Inside College Football, but I think Air Force wins the game. I just took Army because I said at the beginning of the season they would win the Commander-in-Chief trophy. All right, NFL, Broncos at Eagles. I think this Broncos defense will carry the day, and Brock Osweiler will not be a detriment to the offense of the Broncos. You have to love what the Eagles are doing, even though you hate the Eagles as a Cowboys fan. You have to appreciate it and admire it. But Broncos, plus 8.5, I'm taking that all day long. Rams at Giants. Now, the last time the Giants suspended a defensive back, it was that Cromartie guy, and they went to Denver and won a ball game. Now they've suspended Janoris Jenkins, and they won't win this one. Oh. I'm taking the Rams minus 3.5. Falcons and Panthers, we discussed this. The Falcons, can they figure out something in this new offense? I'm going to say they can. Falcons plus 1, I'm all over that. The Panthers, yeah, they still may have enough firepower, but I think losing Kelvin Benjamin and the guys on that team who were taken aback by that move, they may still be thinking about that move, but that defense is still mighty strong for the Panthers. But I'm going with the Falcons plus 1.
Is it my turn? Okay, great.
It is your turn.
I mentioned how much I like Seattle against Washington on Sunday, so I'm going to lay those 7 points and go with the Seahawks. And then I believe this is the Sunday night game, Oakland at Miami. The Dolphins are unhappy. They were terrible in Baltimore. Jay Cutler may or may not be back. Doesn't matter. I'm taking the Raiders, given 3.5 on the road in primetime. I think the Raiders trick us again, that they have figured things out by looking fairly good on NBC and winning Sunday night. And then I'm going to roll the dice here. Because why not? I'm just doing this for fun today. It doesn't count for anything. And I won't be here next Friday to have to back anything up. I said, let's roll with the Colts. I'm going to take those 7 points. I think they lose an ugly, low-scoring, tight game, but they won't lose by more than 7. So I'm taking the Colts, getting those 7 in Houston Sunday afternoon.
Cool. There you have it.
Mikey B is going to get Greg's official pick, so your
right.
Season-long competition can continue.
He kicked my butt last week.
I mean, he really did.
Well, oh, thank you. I just said that.
What were you thinking?
No, it wasn't my fault. It was the kids' fault.
What about the
college
grown
players?
Men?
And the grown men, yeah, their fault. I was going to get to them. It's their fault. I actually did good college. I did good pro. Not so good with the kids. I mean, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, man.
Can't trust them.
You cannot trust them. No. Not at all. Stink.
So just to recap, Papa John can't sell pizza anymore, and he's blaming it on his connection to the NFL.
Right.
And the stock market responded yesterday, and apparently they lost $70 million.
Well, you know, black folks eat pizza. They buy pizza as well. So you don't
rational thinking
yeah.
people do yeah. as well, regardless
right.
of their color.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that were anti what he said.
Yeah.
And then did some research and found out that that's not the only crazy thing he said, and maybe you like them even less. But yeah, not a good 36 hours or so for
Papa John. I didn't see the other crazy things he said. What else did he say?
Well, I mean, what he said about the NFL
yeah.
goes in line with other political statements right. he's made in the past.
In the past,
he was very, very critical of the Affordable Care Act, like talked about having to lay off workers and change minimum wage and what people were making and stuff like that.
What's wrong with people getting paid more?
A lot.
What's wrong with that? They're going to just spend that money. It goes into the economy and it helps out
the
economy.
Out. You don't want to give out more?
Yeah. Really?
Simple economics,
yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I make it, I keep it. I don't
right,
share
yeah.
It.
You shove it in your mattress, right?
Exactly.
That's what you do. No, you go out and spend it. Not only was he taking hits from just, citizens, but other pizza companies were jumping in the fray.
DiGiorno's took a swing.
Oh, man, that was beautiful how they trolled him. And Pizza Hut said, our sales are just fine. They're up. And we have not been hit because of NFL protests. And so this backfired in a big way on him and Papa John. So we'll see if it continues. I saw some of the commercials last night during the Thursday night game. I know they have pulled some advertising. But keep up the good work, Papa John.
Now, I don't think this is what happened, although I certainly hope that it was. But there is, through Pro Football Talk, a conspiracy theory that Jerry Jones, who is in business with Papa John, they're the official sponsor of the Cowboys, plus Jerry owns over 100 Papa John franchises. There's a whisper that Jerry had Papa John do this to do an indirect shot at Goodell and the NFL. I really don't think that's what happened, but man, I wish it did.
I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I'm not one to believe in the black helicopters, but I may believe this one.
Papa, it's Jerry.
You need to do this for us.
Can you say this? I'm going to forge you a script. Say this. Your pizza, no one's buying it, but here's what you're going to blame it on. Colin Kaepernick.
His fault.
That was not a good Jerry Jones. I'm going to go home now. It's the weekend for us. A lot of BJ on TV tomorrow. Two games on CBS inside the SEC. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports
Radio. Get that coconut oil.